Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing today?
Good.
It is an exciting weekend to be alive and to be a disciple and just all kinds of things going on. It's been really, really awesome this weekend being able to go to some of the graduations. There's one right there. There's two over there. It is really, really, I see that Michael is a little bit more attached to that gown. He just does not want to get rid of that thing. Am I a little loud? Am I a bit loud? The graduate will turn us down. There he is. But I just want to say, I'm really proud of you guys and really just excited, not only for you guys, but also to those that just graduated last semester. It's really cool because we're there yesterday and everybody's got their family there. And most people have their families come to graduation, but for those that are part of the church, they kind of have the extended family that come. And we're probably the most loud in the whole group. But, you know, it really is cool because I never had this experience before in church because it's like family. I mean, it's not like family, it is family. And we're there to support each other, but I just want you to know how proud I am of you guys for sticking in there, because I was on the 6-year plan at one time and I know how that is. I wasn't on the 7, but I was on the 6. And I know how that is. You got to persevere, and you guys are just a great example. I can't wait to see what God does in your life, because this is just the starting to the next phase, and God's going to do some really incredible things. So really, really proud of you guys. So I'm really excited. This is a little bit of a sad week, though, because we're losing our roommate this week, which is Devontae is leaving us to go back to school in a week. He's not leaving us. He's just leaving our household because he's been a part of our household for the last 3 months, and we've just gotten to know each other and build a friendship, and it's been really awesome having him there. Today we're going to talk. We're doing a part of our grace series, and hopefully you guys have not just been listening to me talk about grace, but hopefully you guys have been going home and studying out grace, because I really believe that the more that you dig into the scriptures, the more that you study out this topic, the more that you're going to be amazed at how awesome God is. But let's go ahead. Let's start out with a word of prayer, and we'll get right into it. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you, God, that we just get to come here to worship you, and Father, to really lift you up this morning. And God, we're so grateful for the grace that you have for us. Just that we get everything that we have. We have salvation. We have the fellowship. We get to go to graduations because we're part of a family. God, that we have so much, and we owe all of that to you. Father, without you, Jesus, there would be really nothing to celebrate, and yet we have so much in life to really look forward to because of the amazing grace that you've shown each one of us. Father, I pray that today that you would really help us, God, to see your word, to see what you want for us. What's the response? What do we do with this grace? Where do we go from here? God, because your grace is so amazing, and we're trying to wrap our heads and minds around it. And Father, I pray that today we really see something through your scriptures that really helps us to see how we should respond to your amazing grace. And Father, I love you so much. I'm so grateful for this time to be together. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, today we're going to talk about love, our response to grace. And we've talked about, last time we talked about how we're compelled by love of Jesus, right? So we've been talking about a lot of different things. We've talked about how we don't want to be on the works treadmill, you know, because that really leads nowhere. You know, that when we look at sin, and how we look at sin, and how God looks at our sin is two different things, because when he looks at us, he forgives us, and he sees us as pure, even though in ourselves we don't think that, because God and his grace is so amazing. And we looked last time just about how we are compelled by the love of Jesus. But now today we're going to look at, well, what do we do with that? Where do we go with that? What should we be compelled to do? I want to start out with a story. There was a father, and he had a son. The father was a drawbridge operator for a railroad. He brought his 5-year-old son to work one day. The son was playing and got his leg caught in the bridge gears and cried out to his father to help him. A radio call came to notify the bridge operator that the train was coming. The father had a choice. So go save his son and let 1,000 people crash into the river, or let his son die and save the people on the train. He pulls the lever to lower the bridge and crushes his son. The train roars by and he looks up to see the people in the train. And some of them, they were just really too busy to notice. Some of them, they kind of laughed and they kind of made fun because they just thought it was a joke. Others were a little bit more appreciative and they wanted to figure out a way to repay this father. And then there were others that realized that there was nothing that they could do to repay the father. And the only thing they decided to do was to love him for what he had done. You know, and when we think about Jesus, I like that story because it really just, it helps me to see that there is a response that we all have to make. You know, imagine that happening. Imagine that this guy let his son die to save me. You know, what would my response be to that? And when we think about God and we think about Jesus, and we've talked now for weeks just about how amazing we have it in Jesus, that he gave up his life, that he sacrificed, and he loved us so much, you know, that he allowed me, the one who's gone against him all my life, to live. And not only just to live, but he's given me a real life, and he's given me salvation. He's given me the greatest family I could ever imagine. He's given me so much. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about, is what is the response that we need to have? You know, we know that we're compelled by love. We got to be compelled to do something. But now, what is it that we're compelled to do? What should we be compelled to do? We got to make sure that each one of us, and I think as we're trying to all get healthier in our Christian walk, right? All of us, day, we have our quiet times every day, and we're going after our relationship with God. We're trying to get to that place where we're in just a spiritually healthy place. Right. And I believe that the biggest part of that is really truly understanding grace, so that we can have the right response, so that we can live the right way that God wants us to live. So let's look at what the scriptures say. What should we be compelled to do in the scriptures? Let's look at 1 John 4 in verse 19. 1 John 4 in verse 19. It says, we love God. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and their sister. You know, I love this scripture because it really, the first part there just clearly says it. It says, we love because he first loved us. You know, I mean, really, you think about that. Why do we come together? Why do we do the things as a Christian? Why are we compelled to do, you know, what should come out of that? God loved us so much that it says here that because of his love, we love. It's our response. We have to have the response from grace of love. You know, how did Jesus love us first? You know, Jesus has done so much in my life. You know, Jesus pulled me out of a time in my life where I was stuck in my sin. He had pulled me out of a time where I was not going, I was not for him. If anything, I was opposing him in my life. And he had no reason in our human wisdom to pull me out of that pit. In our human wisdom, we go by, well, how awesome someone is. Those are the people we're going to lift up and we're going to help. When Jesus looked at me, he saw this kid at the time who was just this mess and who's so empty that was really looking for something. And he had this amazing love. He saw through all that. And he just said, Mike, I'm going to love you anyway. And that's the amazing thing for all of us. You know, why should we love? Why do we love? Because he loved us first. It's really just because he's done so many incredible things in our life. Yeah. You know, this scripture goes on to talk about more about love. And, you know, it talks about it's impossible to love God if we don't love our brother and sister. You know, that's a pretty bold statement. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes we think, well, we can have this great relationship with God, but yet I got these attitudes with my brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't go together. We've got to, even through those attitudes, we've got to respond in love and go after really making those the right way. And then it goes in verse 21 there. It says, and he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. He says, I'm giving you this command. Now, sometimes when we think about love and grace, do we often think about commands at the same time? No. Sometimes we think, well, those are two very different things. And we're going to see in the scriptures that there is some relationship between love and commands. That command and love in some ways go together. So this scripture talks about that we've got to love people because he loved us first. And we've got to love God because he loved us first. Yeah. You know, and I want you to ask yourself this. If you could explain, if you had one word to tell people, or one or two words about what you do as a Christian that explains how you love God, what would you tell them? You know, what would that one, if you got a piece of paper, write it down. What would that be? If someone says, well, tell me how you love God, and you had to write down one or two words, what would you write down? And I think that a lot of people would write answers like this. They would say, how I love God. Well, I attend church. That's how I love God. Now, that I'm not saying any of these are not a part of loving God. They are a part of loving God. But, you know, that one might be saying, I go to church. Or I read my Bible. You know, I read my Bible, therefore I love God. Or I pray, and therefore I love God. Or I might even, I give a lot. I tithe a lot of my money, so therefore I love God. And then there would be others that even just say, well, it's a feeling that I have. I just kind of feel like I love God. And I just have that feeling. It's that it fills me up when I go to church, and you know, I just get this feeling that God's there with me. But you say, like, well, can you tell me exactly what? Well, I don't really know. I don't know the scriptures that tell me that, but that's my feeling. But we've got to really look back to the scriptures. What does the Bible say? You know, what do you know what Jesus said? Is how the biggest thing that most people would never say of how we love them. You know, there's one thing that Jesus says over and over and over in the scriptures and also throughout the Bible. Well, I forgot that one there. So the big question is, what is love? You know, love must be our response to grace. Well, what is it? What is it according to the scriptures? And this is these are some of Jesus' words here. It says in John 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commands. John 14, 21 says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. John 14, 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Now, these are the words of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this. When I asked you, put down a word that describes how you love Jesus, you know, is our first response that my love for him is to obey? That my first response is that my love goes together with following the commandments of the scriptures. And I think that sometimes we don't think that way, because when we think about grace, we all want to be people that really understand grace. That's why we're doing this whole series on grace, right? Yeah. And the reason we're doing this series is because I ask quite a lot of people, you know, what do you think we should preach about? And you know what the number one thing that always is, not just in this church, but every church I've ever been in, they always want to hear about grace. And so it's something that we're all trying to get to. And so when we look at Jesus, though, we've got to make sure that we go back to the scriptures to really find out, what is the reason? What is my response to grace? What? How do I show that love? We know that Jesus loved me so much. Now I need to love, but how do I need to carry that out? And Jesus makes it very clear that he says that I've got to follow his commands. And sometimes we have this thing when we talk about grace, we start thinking like, well, if there's grace, and somehow when I think about Jesus and New Testament, we'll get there in a little bit, we kind of feel like some of this, the commands went away. There is no commandment. All there is now is just love and just feeling good. But the reality is even Jesus himself said, and he said it three times here, that we need to love, and love goes together with following his commands. We don't like saying that because we feel like that may put us back into that work cycle, right? Because when we think about love and commands, you know, most of our minds are two totally separate things. You know, here's how we think. You know, we think sometimes that we got obedience to God's commands, and then we got Jesus' love for me. And we think that by somehow putting those together, our relationship with God might go like this, that, you know, I went to church one day, and therefore I was obedient, and so Jesus' love for me, it's really high now. I'm flying high in my relationship with Jesus. He loves me so much more than ever. Then the next day, we get into a little sin. We have a little lust maybe on our mind, or we look at something and we go, oh, wow, Jesus, he doesn't love me so much now. He doesn't really love me because of what I've done. But then the next day, and I don't know why the words got messed up there. The next day, you got to the point here that you prayed a little bit. Now, you weren't back up to the top because your prayer wasn't so awesome, but you had a prayer. And then the next day, you pray even a little bit more, and it goes up a little bit more, and then you confessed it. Now, you're almost all the way back up to the top, and you're feeling like, now, finally, Jesus is starting to love me again. Yeah. But then the next day at work, something happened and you didn't want to get in trouble and you told a lie. You lied. And you were almost at that top. Now you went back down to the bottom. And now you're feeling like, oh, Jesus, he doesn't really love me that much anymore. And we get down in that kind of low depression because we think he doesn't care about us. But then the next day you make a decision. I'm going to go and I'm going to have a 3-hour quiet time. And you're all the way, I mean, you're up almost at that perfect point right there because you're so awesome. You had a 3-hour quiet time. But then the next day you're running late for work because you had to cram it all in, and you did it that night when you got home and you couldn't wake up early, so you missed your quiet time. But it didn't go down. Jesus didn't come down to you in his love for here because it's not quite as bad. So we're only right there. And then the next day we get back up with a 1-hour quiet. Now, I know this is kind of funny, but this is how we think sometimes.
Yeah, true.
We start thinking that because we don't want to put grace and, love and commands together, we want to walk either walk on this side that says, well, he just loves me no matter what, and it gives me this right to sin, which we've talked about before. Or we get on the other side of it and we start thinking, well, I just need to be obedient now. I just need to go after the, and we start seeing that the amount of love that God has for us, it changes. Now, once I think about that and what it looks like to me. If you've ever been to like Magic Mountain, you get on the roller coaster, you know, you go up and then you come down. And some of us in our Christian lives, we live in a roller coaster.
Yeah.
We're so up and then we're down and we're up. And a lot of that's because we feel like some days God loves me more than others. And but the problem with that is it we have a misunderstanding of grace. This is the reality of Jesus' love for us. There's what we've done. It's up and down still, right? We all sin. But look at the top there. Maximum love level from Jesus. It always is constant. There's nothing that you can do to change the amount of love that Jesus has for you. There's nothing you can do. You don't control God. You don't control him in thinking that, well, because I sin or I'm having a good day, he loves me more. And if I could just do better, he's going to love me. He's going to love me less or more. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And we've got to make sure about that, that when we think about these scriptures that say that we need to love by being obedient, that we're not talking about Jesus' love for us. We're talking about our love now as a response to the amazing love of Christ.
Come on.
So it's not, Jesus will never change. He's always constant. Now, I believe that if we really see that and understand that, that's what will get us excited to not get down even in our following his commands. We'll be up here. But see, nothing we do can change the amount of love. But we need to respond, and we have control. We can't control how much God loves us. He loves us always at the maximum level.
Yeah. Come on.
What we do have control is how we love him. And see, that has to be our response to the cross and our response to grace. This quote here, it says, our love for God expressed through obedience to him is to be a response to his love, not a means of trying to earn it. Anyone who thinks, since God's love is not conditioned on my obedience, I am free to live as I please, is not living by grace, nor does he understand grace. What he perceives as grace is really a character of grace. And so what he says here is that when we see it in the wrong way, when we start seeing that we can change his love and the things that we do make change how much God loves us, it says what we're really looking at here is we're looking kind of at a cartoon, this fake grace that's not real. And we need to make sure that as we're going through, that's why I tell you, study out grace. Get in your Bible, learn about grace, because this is so important, because I don't think any of us want to live our Christian walk like this. And if we don't get this, everything else in our Christian life will just be this roller coaster. How you view the fellowship, how you view church, how you view whatever, reading your Bible, how you view, when someone says, hey, here's some scripture, I think you should follow this. You know, if you don't see that right, you go, oh, wow, this has nothing to do with love. They're commanding me to do something. Right. No, love and commandments go together. But we need to make sure that we understand that Jesus' love is always, always at the top for us. So then the question is when we think about his commands, if love and his commands go together, when we think about his commands, how do we think about them? How do we view them? When we look at something in the Bible that says, well, you need to do this, how do we see it? Because, you know, if you look at grace wrong, we can start to think that, well, maybe I don't really have to do this. It's just a suggestion. You know, I know this, especially men, we hate following directions. And not all, but I know I do sometimes, and I can be prideful in that. But I think in general, we all don't like to have this direction, this commandment that we've got to follow. You know, some of you guys know what this is, right? Anybody know what this is?
It's like IKEA.
It is. It's IKEA directions. And when we first moved here, we got a bed from IKEA, and it had so many different directions and all these little pictures, and it had like 10,000 little pieces like this big, and I was like, I do not want to fall. And I had like two other brothers over there, and we were all like trying to put this thing together, and I'm like, I don't want to follow this direction. This is not a requirement I can, you know, I don't want to do it. And we can all relate to this kind of feeling doing that sometimes when you just sit there looking at those directions and you go, I just do not understand what this says. You know, some of you guys can relate who's put together some IKEA things. You know, and what you want to do with it after a little bit is you just want to throw it in the trash can.
Come on.
Because there's no requirement that you follow their directions, right? Now, often I'll try to do it without their directions, and it'll come out looking totally different.
Yeah.
But it's not a law, right? Nobody, I can't get in trouble for putting my IKEA bed together the wrong way, right? You know, and we don't like being told things. We don't like, especially when we don't quite understand things. We don't like being pushed in a direction, feeling like that we got to obey this commandment. Oh, what happened to one of the pictures? There it is. Okay, so some of us have seen these on the side of the road, right? And I don't know if you know, I didn't really realize this, but do you know the difference between the white ones and the yellow ones? Anybody know? Who knows? Okay, somebody said it.
One is a suggestion.
Okay, the white one here is a speed limit. If you go over the speed limit, they have the right to give you a ticket because that is the law, okay? The yellow signs, and we've seen these like on the exit getting off, says 25 miles, that is a suggested speed. You cannot get a ticket for, you can't break it because it's not a law. It is a suggested speed saying that, you know, if you were smart, you'd probably stick to that 25 miles an hour. But you don't have to. You can go over that. But if you're wise, you would. Now, try explaining that one to the cop that pulls you over for the white sign. You don't have any case. But the yellow one, you do. You know? And so... Oh, wrong one. And so we got to think about, when we think about the commands, when we think, and we've talked about love and how love is obedience, when we look at the commands of the scriptures, how do you view them? Do you view them as the law? We hate that word, right? That's the law. Or do we view it as a suggestion? You know, do we view the Bible as, this is a suggestion for you. You can do it however you want, whichever way you want, but this is just a suggestion. And I think it's important that we see the Bible in the right way. Because I think sometimes when we think about the law and we think about obedience, a lot of times what our mind does is it says, well, we got to go back to the old, you know, that's the Old Testament times. We don't live there. Now we live in grace, right? I don't know if you've ever heard people say that. I've thought that sometimes. Well, I live in a different time now. I don't really have to be as obedient as those people because they would get, you know, something bad, would a flood would wipe them out or they'd be killed or whatever. And so, but today we live by grace. And so everything's kind of this freedom. I almost feel like Christian hippies where we just kind of, whatever we want to do, you know. But the reality is that's not the truth. We can sometimes look at the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And I've heard people say this before. You know what? We live in New Testament times. The Old Testament had a lot of law in it. I like this, the New Testament, because he does look like a hippie. He's got a little flower in his hand. And then you got the Old Testament God who's over there, and he's this mean guy. And we sometimes think there are two different gods in the Bible. But the reality is there's only one God, and he's always said that we should respond in love. We just don't see it that way. You know, we look at some of the Old Testament scriptures, and we would look at these, and we go, wow, this is a bunch of commands. You know, here it says in this is part of the Ten Commandments. This is in Exodus 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And it goes on in verse 18. It says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in the smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you. To keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. I mean, we look at a scripture like that and we go, I am so grateful that today I don't have to follow these commandments. You know, and I think a lot of people think like that. Yeah. We think like that, and we look at how these people responded, and we think, well, I'm glad I don't have to fear God that much. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we do.
Yeah.
But we look at that, and we think, well, I don't think we do, because that was Old Testament times. But let's see what was talked about in the New Testament now. In the New Testament, this was in Romans 13, in verse 8, it says, love fulfills the law. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Mm-hmm. And so he pointed, I mean, look at the first part there. You shall not, you know where that's from? From Exodus, where it says, you know, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery. Yeah. So he's saying that in the New Testament, sometimes we think, well, there's a different God, that somehow he's gotten rid of all these commandments that we don't need to follow anymore. But the reality, what he's saying there, he says that by loving, it says, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, sometimes we don't really understand sometimes when we read, because we can read the New Testament without even thinking of the Old Testament. But I want you to think about this when it says love does no harm to a neighbor. Now, if we just read that passage on its own, how would we know what it is to harm your neighbor? How would we know where we need to be in love? How would we know, you know, how we need to treat someone? That's the reason why the Old Testament was there in some of these commandments. When we look at these, we got to see what God was really saying here. He was saying, don't murder because I want you to love people. Mm. I want you to obey love. Don't commit adultery because I want you to obey in love. You know, don't steal and don't give false. Don't do all these things because I want you to respond to me in love for one another. You know, and so that helps me anyway, just to see that throughout the Bible, there's only one God. And he's a very loving God. And if we didn't have some of the commandments of the Old Testament, we would have no way to know where we should be at in our love for each other. You know, and so, I mean, I really think God is so awesome, just how he put the Bible all together. Yeah. There is no difference. We are today, we are at the same place. We've got to look at the scriptures, not as the suggested way of doing things. That's not the Old Testament way, and the New Testament way is different. We've got to look at it that we are followers of God who has never changed. He's always been graceful. He always wants us to love. And our love is a fulfillment of the law.
Amen.
And so love is so important that that's how we respond in everything. And so I love this kind of stuff. I love looking at these things and looking, trying to put things together in the Bible so that they start making sense. Yeah. And, you know, let's look at another scripture about love. 1 John 5 in verse 1. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. And this is also an awesome scripture. I mean, every scripture is awesome, but I read some of these things and I go, wow, this makes so much sense.
Yeah.
You know, it says, how do I love other people? You know, because that's got to be my response. I think everybody kind of knows that. That's got to be our response. Jesus loved us so much, so I need to love. Well, it gives us the answer here. It says, this is how we know that we love the children of God in verse 2. And the answer is by loving God and carrying out his commands. You know, isn't it funny that sometimes when we talk to people about how to love, we all have different ways that we think. And, you know, and some people really think that, you know, that because we're on the New Testament side now, all we got to do is just be nice, and we don't need to tell people any truth. There's no truth and there's no commandments involved. And we don't really need, when we think about love, we just go by what we think love is. Mm-hmm. Meaning that you know, I know how to love this person. You know, I want to love them this way, and I'm get very sentimental, and I, you know, I just get all these feelings and whatever, and we start loving people our way instead of looking back to the scripture. It says that we know that we love people by, number one, if we love God, but then also by carrying out his commands. We get love not by our own right way of thinking of doing it.
Yeah.
Our love should be backed up by how God says that we should love.
Yeah.
We should look to the scriptures, even in our relationships in this room. Sometimes we can think, I'm loving this person, when it doesn't have anything to do with how the Bible says to love. And because that's all we've learned. Now remember, when we came into the kingdom, we didn't know much about love. But somehow when we get into the kingdom, we start coming back with our own ways of doing things, and we start thinking, well, my love is the right way. And I see some people, you know, through the years that really think that they've cornered the market on how to love people. You know, I know how to love people. I know how to, and yet none of what they said was backed up by the scripture. You know how we can love each other and follow out these commands and follow out, you know, this response to grace for each other is we can dig into the scriptures and we can find out how the Bible says to love one another. You know, it doesn't mean when we think about loving each other, it doesn't mean that in our relationships we're to be 90% grace and 10% truth. Because sometimes we think like that. Remember, this goes back to the other things. So if you're here for the first time, you know, there's other, you can look online, and there's the times we talked about this. But the way Jesus sees things is he sees it in 100 and 100. I need to love people with all grace, but I need to love people with all truth or all the commandments. You know, that's how we need to love each other. We cannot try to inject our own way of loving each other and allow that to supersede what the Bible says.
Right.
You know, even sometimes when we look at scriptures like Matthew 18 and stuff like that, where it says, if someone is in sin, and then after that they don't listen, you bring other people in. Some people will look at that and they'll go, oh, that's so mean. How could we be so mean to do that to somebody? What I don't often hear is people say, wow, that's so loving. That is so loving because you're following the scripture. And that's how we need to view love. That our love, I've not cornered the market on love, just like none of us have. The only truth is what's commanded in the Bible that teaches us about how to love one another. You know, and we need to really have love for one another as our response.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have, when people walk into this room, they should be able to go, I am so blown away, not by the carpet. You know, this church has the nicest carpet around, and I like the steeple that's on top of your building. You know, there's no cross, you know. Sometimes people, you know, that should not be what impresses people when they walk in this room. What should be the difference between us is that we have this love that's not this love because I'm so awesome, but this love because I am trying to be obedient, and I'm trying to have a response to the grace, to the incredible grace that Jesus has given me in my life. It will make our relationships even so much tighter. And one thing I've noticed is sometimes when there's something in the church that's like, you have to be there, a lot of people show up. So when we get commanded to come to something like Wednesdays, we all know we're supposed to be there. But you do something that's a little smaller and you say, hey, we're going to get together as a ministry and go out and have fun together. Somehow there's less people there. Because I don't think that we see the importance of what God has done in our life. We don't see how amazing that grace is, that grace, it motivates us to want to get together. It motivates us to want to give to that person, to serve that person, to lift up and encourage that person. You know how much encouragement that person gets from you when you're not there?
None.
The only way that person can get that love and receive that love is that the more we're together, the more you'll have to give it.
Yeah.
And I believe that's what the church here on earth is all about. It's about loving each other and about loving the world and helping them to see, not loving what the world does, but loving the world and loving God. You know, we've got to also love God. And here it gives us the answer to loving God and says, in fact, in verse 3, this is love for God, to keep his commands. That's what the Bible says. You know, sometimes we think that it's this mushy-gushy feeling in our heart. And you may get that, but you probably won't get that in the right way unless you're following his commands and keeping them. That's how God, you know, everybody has their love language. You know, a lot of the Marys read this book, and so I think there's even one for singles, like what are love languages and stuff, and we've read those books. Do you know what God's love language is? There it is, right there, to keep his commands. Now, does that mean that if we don't, again, don't let your mind go on the other way, because some people might think, well, how is this grace? Don't let your mind be thinking, well, now I got to have this level of obedience, therefore God's love goes. No, God's love stays at the top. We're talking today about our response to the grace and all the amazing things that he's done in our life. And I know for me, I'll be honest that sometimes, you know, going back to the chart, in my life, that's the way I've thought sometimes. Even as a Christian, that's how I've thought. I've thought that the more I do and the more righteous I am today, that the better and the more that God loves me. But the reality is that was just, I don't have a true understanding of grace. That's why I love going through these scriptures, because I really need to understand this so much better. And so, and then it goes on here. And it says, and his commands are not burdensome. His commands are not burdensome. And I think that sometimes we feel as Christians, I mean, I think a lot of people have told me at different times, maybe not here, I haven't been here that much, but I've heard people say, man, it's so hard to be a Christian. It's so hard to follow this righteousness that I need to have. It's so hard for me to stay away from the world. It's so hard and so burdensome to follow the commands that are in the Bible. But the reason, and I just want to throw this out there, that the reason that we may be feeling that is because we may not have an understanding of true grace. That may be where that comes from. Because when we do things out of love and we respond out of love, we don't usually feel burdened.
Yeah.
It's when we feel like this is a command, but love has nothing to do with it. Again, love and commands go together, and we need to view it that way. Otherwise, we're going to start feeling burdened by what God's telling us to do, even when that is telling us to do something that's really helping us to love more.
Yeah.
One more scripture here. 2 John 1 in verse 6. It says, and this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. And I think this one just sums up everything that we've been talking about. And excuse me for this sermon kind of being all over, and these are just a lot of different thoughts and things I was thinking about as I was reading these. But I really want us to look at this scripture, because it says, and this is love. Love is not what I think love is, but love is that I walk in obedience to his commands. We've heard this from the beginning. We all have since we started studying the Bible. His command is that you walk in love. I really think if we really strive to memorize this scripture, let's make that. Let's do that. Let's do that for midweek this week. Let's memorize this scripture. Because I think if we strive for this in our relationship with God, we're going to be happy Christians. We're going to love each other more. The world will be so much more attracted to what we're doing here because it's all about love. You know, that people will be lined up to come. You know, let's really think about how we view the commands of the Bible. Do we see the Bible when it says to do something as telling me that it's really loving me and giving me the advice because God loves me? You know, let's strive to really follow this. Let's make sure that in our life, that when we say this is what I do as a Christian, is that I love. I respond to the grace. I respond to it. I see it. I understand how awesome Jesus is. I understand what he's done for me. And because of that, I'll walk in obedience and I'll walk in love.